Amen. The papers that you have is only just a portion of the overall notes that I have. I'm now up to about 18 pages of notes, and I decided, since I've got a lot to cover tonight, I'm really on one subject, but I want to make sure that in dealing with this one subject that we just deal with what the whole of the Scripture says, rather than, well, one verse says it this way and that's what I believe. And so I'm going to try to treat this issue fairly. I'm going to try to treat it and understand it the way the Bible would have us to understand it. And it's the issue of, there are those who hold to the idea that a person can commit themselves to Jesus Christ, and they may go out from there and live a very wretched, sinful life, and you'll never see them in church again. They drop out, they go back to the old ways, go back to the old lifestyle, and so on and so on. And there are some who would say, well, they were saved, so therefore they're going to heaven no matter what. But they bring up this issue that they won't get, they're still going to heaven, they just won't get the rewards that other people would get. Have you ever heard that before? Okay, yeah, they got saved. They go out and live a wretched life, but they just won't get the rewards that other people would get in heaven. And I've heard that before, and I've had people say that to me, and so on and so on. And I'll be honest with you, it never sounded right to me. It just never sounded right. And so I made up my mind, I purposed my mind that I was going to study the Scriptures on this issue to see exactly what the Bible said on this. And the question is, are there different rewards in heaven for different people in heaven? Does that make sense to everybody? The question is, are some people going to get to heaven and have higher rewards or more rewards than other people in heaven who are not going to get very many at all? Has anybody ever thought about that and considered that? No? Never occurred to you, right? Okay? We were not ready to preach that here in this church, okay? And so, that's why I question it. I've just never really heard that. There are some churches that preach that as the gospel truth, and they preach it as if you don't believe this, well, there's something wrong with you. I'll be honest with you, after going through the Scriptures, I'm not sure. I can kind of see maybe where they might get it, but the depth that I've heard some people deliver it, it staggers me, because I'm going, there's not there. What you're teaching is not there in the Scripture. And so the topic is, I believe the Scriptures bear this out, that salvation itself is the reward. And there's only one reward for everybody. Okay, one reward for everybody. Yeah, I'm not into that one tonight, but I think that kind of goes along with what we're questioning, is the idea, well, the more that I do, the more crowns I'm going to get, and so on. Okay, so let's look at our paper. See, and I got a ton of scriptures, so I'm going to kind of run right through them. We're going to examine what the Scripture says. Here is one of the parables that was actually brought to me by somebody who believed that this was teaching. Not this parable here. I'm kind of ahead of myself. There's another one here down the road here. But this is something that I mentioned last Sunday night, and I kind of paraphrase this parable. But let's look at exactly what the Scripture says concerning this issue. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1. And those of you at home, you might want to just jot these notes down in these Scripture references and do it yourself, or you can get our software and follow with me as I do this. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out about the third hour, saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. Notice what he said. I'll give you what is right. Okay? And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour. And the ninth hour. Sixth hour is probably about noon. Ninth hour is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And did likewise. He told every group the same thing. He told them, I'll give you what's right. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, That because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Notice he said it again, that which is right. So when he even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last. In other words, the guys that came in at 5 o'clock in the evening, that would be the 11th hour, I think. Beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. And I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Think about it. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. So I'll just ask your opinion. Now, if this was in sort of the work environment of America today, there'd be pickets and protests and people walking off the job and everything like that. Because, I mean, I know what it's like to work a day, and I know that some people don't work near as much as other people do, and some people got to pick up the slack and all that stuff, and it makes people mad. I understand that. But in this lesson here that Jesus himself, this came out of our Savior's mouth, he said, it's the kingdom of heaven. This is how it's like. And he said, he hired men on for a penny, and they worked all day. And then guys come in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they work about an hour, and he pays them the same penny. And the Lord said, Is it not mine to give as I want to? Did I not agree with you for a penny? When you got saved, let's watch this now. When you got saved, did God promise you that you was going to get more than somebody else for getting saved earlier in life or later in life? I've been with people who were on their deathbed confessing that Jesus is Lord. I remember Buster. You remember Buster Montgomery came here. Man was 70 some odd years old. And finally he wakes up, realizes he needs to be saved. He got saved, baptized him here. He died, what, 2-3 years later. Does anybody here think he should get less than those of us who got saved when we were 9 or 10? Not according to this. Not according to this. And so on this ground here, right here, this teaching here, I would say that this guy here and this guy here, if they both go to heaven, Jesus said in this parable, they're equal. That's what I believe. Now let's look at, and what I did here, starting in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, you'll find the same word here. I did a study of the word reward. Reward or rewards in the scripture. Look at what it says. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. He said the reward is great, but he does not say in here that it's greater than what somebody else got. Matthew 6:4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. But it didn't say anything about, well, they gave more alms, therefore they get more reward. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. reward, one reward. Matthew 10:41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. You know what it's saying here? That what the prophet gets, the person who received and listened to the prophet gets the same thing. And what the righteous man gets, and by the way, watch this now. Who is the only one righteous? Christ. And he said, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So here is Christ. He is the prophet. He is the righteous man. He receives the inheritance, which I'm going to show you. That's what the reward is. He receives it. And those of us who receive Jesus, though you and I have never died on the cross, we never gave our life, we never did the things that Christ did. The Bible, he says here that we receive the same reward as the prophet, and we receive the same reward as the righteous man. Do you agree with Scripture so far? Say amen. Like how I worded that question. Do you agree with Scripture so far? Say amen. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Now, the Bible's clear. There are works of righteousness, and there are works of unrighteousness. There are not levels of works of righteousness. If you do something and it's good, it's good. And somebody else does something that's good, it's not better than what you did, it's good. Let me ask you about sin. Let's say that all you did in life was told one lie. But somebody else in life, they committed adultery 20 times. Which of them goes to hell? Both of them. Because the qualifications of God under the law was, if they sin once, they have not kept all of the law. Therefore, they're guilty. If a man offend the law in one point, he is guilty of all. So you know what? And I just can't help but think that this doctrine of greater rewards and this and that and the other, and some people are going to have it better than others, it kind of stinks of pride to me. Because it's almost like saying, well, I'm not near the sinner that they are. And all you got to do is read Romans 1, 2, and 3, and you'll find out that it doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. You're a sinner. Can I get an amen out of God's people? So if somebody does this, and we think, well, that's not a big deal. Somebody does this, well, that's a big deal. They still broke God's law. They sinned. They violated the law of God, and they're guilty before God, and they're going to go to hell. And the good people who are sinners are going to stay in hell with the bad people who are sinners. Amen? So just, I think they're the same. Let's see here. Luke 6:23. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. He said your reward is great. But he did not say it was greater than somebody else. Luke 6:35. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Ye shall be the children of the highest. And that's your reward, is that you are called children of the highest. Romans 4:4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Let me explain what that verse is. If we walk circumspectly around that verse, in Romans chapter 4, he's talking about those who think they are keeping the law, and that by doing good deeds and keeping the law, then God will give them rewards for that. And he said, if that's the way you want to think, then the reward system in your religion that you have set up is not based upon the grace of God. It is based upon your labor that you do. I just want to ask a question. Are we saved by works, or are we saved by grace? We are saved by grace. So a guy that works all of his life for the kingdom of God, when he goes to heaven, he was given that by the grace of God, not by what he did. No matter how good it was, no matter how great it was, he goes to heaven because of the grace of God. And yet a guy who wasted most of his life gets saved just a few months or years before he goes to heaven. Keith Crum. Keith Crum, Jared. Guy spent all his life running from the Lord. Two boys trying to follow God and read the Bible every day. And him watching that. And he gets saved the day he finds out he's going to die of cancer. I hope he gets everything in heaven. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. He was saved by grace. And I'll tell you this. I told this to Brady and Bradley. When Keith, the day after he got saved, he come up with this, I just feel like somebody's living on the inside of me. And I looked at them, two boys laughed at him in the hospital, and I said, you bums have been trying to study that all your life to try to figure that out. He got it in one day. You know what that is? That's grace. It wasn't his works. It wasn't how good he did. It wasn't how long he was saved. It was the same grace that saves the guy that's been preaching 50 years. It's the same grace. Can I hear you say amen? Same grace. So he said, Luke 6:35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend. Well, I've already read that again. Your reward shall be great and you shall be children of the highest. Romans, here's what I was getting at. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. To me, the idea that there are levels of rewards in heaven based upon lifetime performance, to me, is saying that God owes you more because you have worked more. Does that sound right to everybody? The belief that God then owes you more, and it's a debt that God is paying you because you have done better things and you've lived a clean life longer than other people have, and you didn't go off the deep end in your life, and you threw your television away and you quit listening to country music, and you did this and you did all these things and you did it better than other people did. It's almost like saying that when you get to heaven, God owes you more. And right here it says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Let me tell you why I'm standing here tonight preaching you the gospel. It's because I love my master. But if I think for a minute that I'm up here getting better stuff than you, how fair is that? How fair is that, that the preachers who live right and preach the gospel the longest get better stuff than the people sitting in the pews? That ain't right. It's not right. And I don't believe it. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. But it does not say, and I can kind of see, well, they say, see it says right there, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what it does not say is it does not have an amount attached to this, and it does not say that this reward is going to be greater than somebody else's reward. It just simply says that I, living my life for the Lord, I can expect to receive the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ for what I have done. Does that make sense to everybody? And so, let's say, Brother Sterling, he's not a preacher. He hasn't preached the sermons. He hasn't done this. He hasn't done that. He's a good man. He loves the Lord and he believes the Bible. And he wants to stand by that Bible and he believes he's saved by the grace of God. That means that he is going to get his inheritance based upon his life, not anybody else's. Okay? That's kind of what I see in that. 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, I've actually read, somebody had sent it to me about this idea of rewards, that in 1 Corinthians 3, they are saying the Bible actually mentions the levels of rewards. Gold, silver, what's the other ones there? Precious stones, and then wood, hay, and stubble. And they actually take that and they stick it into the levels that are in heaven, and they're saying that some people earn the gold rewards, some people earn the silver rewards, and then some poor saps have the stubble rewards. Now, I know that if I, like we went to Incredible Pizza yesterday, I know that if I paid more money, I could have got more game time. I could have got the premium deal at Incredible Pizza and got the pizza, the salad bar, and all the game stuff unlimited. I could have done that if I would have paid more money. That's an I do not see in the Bible anywhere where God has a stubble field in heaven for some people to live in. I don't see it. The Bible gives us an accurate description of heaven, New Jerusalem, and I don't see a commoner's area and a royalty area in heaven. I don't see it. I think that the reward is equal to everybody. Can I get an amen out of you? Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of what? If you underline anything or circle anything or make a note of anything I'm teaching tonight, he's telling you that the reward is the inheritance. The reward is the inheritance. Who knows what an inheritance is? Somebody just tell me what an inheritance is. Okay? He's going to give you his money, whatever, real estate he's got or whatever. Okay? His belt buckles or whatever. Okay? That's not earned. He's not giving it to you because he thinks you're a better kid than the rest of them. Spoon, Lisa. Spoon. All you had to do is be born. And he gives that to you. Your reward, write this down somewhere, the reward of heaven is heaven. It's the Lord. It's your inheritance. And the Bible's clear. And I got verses on the inheritance tonight. Inheritance is grace, not by works. Okay? Let me move on. 1 Timothy 5:18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. That's what it says. Labor, and we learn from this passage here back in Matthew chapter 20 that the guys who show up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon get the same as the guys who showed up at 6 in the morning. It's the same. By the way, in this passage, 1 Timothy 5:18, I'm the ox. Actually, what this is talking about is whether or not you should pay the preacher or a pastor or a bishop from church funds. And the answer is yes. It's biblical to do that. I've been seeing what some people write on YouTube. They say, preachers aren't supposed to get anything. That's not true. It's totally not true. And he uses that illustration of an ox. And he said, an ox, you use that ox to run that mill to tread that corn out. Is that ox going to do that very long for free? What do you got to do for him? You got to give him some corn. Okay? And I won't get into all that, but anyway. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Again, a great reward, but it's not a greater reward. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. And note, by the way, notice this. In these two verses here, Hebrews 10:35 and Hebrews 11:6, tells you that the reward that you get is based upon faith and not of works. Confidence is having faith. That's what that means. Con means with, and fide means faith. Cast not therefore away your confidence. That means don't throw your faith away, which hath a great recompense of reward. God's not going to give you your reward based upon what you do. He's going to give it based upon, do you believe? Because that's how we're saved to begin with. By grace, through our faith, and not what we did. Doesn't matter how much or how little you did. Can I confess something to you? It's church, Bethel Church. I don't know if you've noticed, in all the years that I've been here. I've heard it done before by preachers, and I didn't really think that was right. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can say, well, Mike, I remember you said this. But an overlying opinion that I've had of my church is that really it's not up to me to demand that the people in the church must do this much for the church and that much for the church. And how come this many people do this much of the work, and how come this many people do this much of the work? I've heard that preached, and I've never agreed with it, and I've never tried to jam that down this church's throat. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. But I've never, I won't say ever, but I cannot think of a time where I actually pitted one group out of this church against another to make them feel bad for not doing enough in the church. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I don't believe in that. I believe God calls some people to work and labor, and I believe God calls some people to sit and listen and pray. And who are you to who am I to decide what you should be doing in the kingdom of God? That's between you and God. Can I hear you say amen? And so I don't even do it in pastoring. I don't have the philosophy that I think a certain part of our church is going to have greater rewards in heaven than most of the members of my church. I don't believe that. I don't treat my people that way because I don't believe in it. Anyway, he said in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that do a lot of work. It's not what it says. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I will say that your faith must be diligent, but it's not your works. And those who seek God, because there is one faith, there is one reward. 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a what? What kind of reward? Full reward. Everybody the same reward. Now, let me go back to this. If you turn the page there, I put Matthew 10:41 back up here. And I want to show you this. They got a second witness to this idea that both the prophet and the righteous man receive the same reward as those who hear. So he that receive, Matthew 10:41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now look at Revelation 11, verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name. Look at the two groups that he mentions right after that. Small and great. So it doesn't matter if you're little Miss Waymeyer, who can't really come to church anymore because of the pain that she's in, because of the advanced age. Doesn't matter. I don't have her out knocking doors. I don't have her out mowing the church grass. I don't have her out passing out tracts. You know what I want out of her more than anything? She prays for us here. Small and great. And the reward goes to the prophets as well as to the saints and to all those that fear thy name, both small and great. That's who it goes to. One reward. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And again, I'm going to say there are only two kinds of work. Righteous deeds and unrighteous deeds. Period. That's what the Bible says. Now, look in this Matthew chapter 25. Here's a passage here out of the scriptures that a fellow was trying to, he was trying to argue with me in a forum. And he was one of these that he believed in numerous dispensations. And he also believed in the idea that once a person came to the altar, that was it. Nothing. They were never, ever, ever going to go to hell, no matter what they did, no matter what kind of rat dog they became after that nothing was going to happen to them. They just weren't going to get the rewards that us and what you want to hear that what they want to say is that I'm going to get. That's what is there, although they're not saying it. They won't get the rewards that I'm going to get. And I just go, who are you, you rat dog? Okay? And so he used this particular passage to prove his point. And the way he was telling it, it made you believe that he was right. When you went back and actually read the Bible, he wasn't right. And I'll show this to you. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Y'all remember this parable, right? He gives 5 to 1 and 2 to the other and so on. And watch this now. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. His several ability. You know what this man knew? That this guy here could handle 5 talents. But this guy here probably couldn't handle 5 talents, so he gave him 2. Is it fair for God to reward people based upon what they can handle? No. So he deliberately gave this guy 5, but he only gave this guy 2. According to his several ability. And what you're going to see is that the exact same reward was given to both of them. Look at what it says. And so he went and straightway took his journey. Verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I want you to underline and look at exactly what the Lord said to this man. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And so now look at the next verse. Verse 24. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He gave him exactly the same blessing. The same one. You have been faithful. And he called them both. It doesn't matter if he gave this guy 5 and he gave this guy 2. You know what he called it both? Few. According to the Lord, they had the same thing. And so likewise, he gave them the exact same reward. Now we have the guy with the 1. Here's who's different. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore thy talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one, let me turn my page here, and you'll have to do the same thing. Lick your fingers and turn it. Shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath shall be taken away even that which he hath. Look what happened to him in verse 30. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into where? Do you think he went to hell? Look at the next phrase. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where is that, Jared? Hell. Not a lesser reward. This guy went to hell. So the 2, he blessed exactly the same and gave them the same reward. The 1 that didn't, cut him off, sent him to hell. I don't see, so far, I have not seen the doctrine. I've not seen Jesus, nor Paul, nor John, or anybody else teach that some who do more receive greater rewards. I don't see it. It's not here. Matthew 19:29, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit what?" What are they going to inherit? How long is everlasting life? It never ends, does it, Nick? Okay? So, and by the way, these are verses on the inheritance. The inheritance, remember, the Bible said the reward, he shall give him the reward of his inheritance. The inheritance is everlasting life. We would not say that, well, there are some who are going to live a long time in heaven, but then they're going to be cut off. And they won't be like the rest of us. They all receive everlasting life. Matthew 25:34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit what? The kingdom prepared you from the foundation of the world." What do you inherit? The kingdom. Everlasting life. Acts 20 verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified." The inheritance is given to you. And by the way, look what builds you up. It is the word of his grace. So let me ask you a question. If I'm up here preaching and I'm preaching the truth of the Word of God and I'm helping people come to Jesus and souls are being saved and people are being rescued from cults and everything like that, should I ever pat myself on the back and say, "Mike, you have done a good job"? No. Because I'm telling you, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, Linda. That was God doing that through me. Is that what we believe? So if God is doing that through me, why should he then give someone who he's not doing that much through a lesser reward? Doesn't seem fair, does it? Just doesn't seem fair that God picked probably one of the worst guys in the world to find to preach the gospel. Standing him up here preaching the gospel to everybody. Thousands of people all over the world listening to him. And who are you, Nick? Do you believe God works through you? Okay? Do you talk to thousands of people all over the world? One way or the other. I'm not talking about, work with me here, I'll throw this at you. Let's take me out of the picture. Let's pick some big evangelist that's been all over the world preaching the gospel to everybody. Thousands and thousands of people. If that's God doing that through him, why should he get more than somebody else whom God is doing less through? You see my point? If God is the one who's working through us, and God has Sister Gloria reading her Bible, praying for her son-in-law, praying for her church, but she's not up here preaching lessons, she's not making videos, she's not handing out tracts, she's not doing that. If God has her doing that, and he has me doing this, should she get a lesser reward? No. God gave me 5 talents. Big whoop. He gave Gloria 2 talents. He called them both the same. And they get the same reward. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like the God that they're preaching. I do not like the God that they're preaching. I don't like him. He's a God that rewards or supposedly gives some people better things while he doesn't give it to others. I don't believe in that. Acts 26:18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." The inheritance, it's the same one. Ephesians 1:11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." There's the verse I'm referring to right there. It is God who worketh all things according to the counsel of his will. It was God who worked in me at 9 years old to get saved and try to live my life in church all my life. It was the same God who worked in Keith Crum to wait 6-8 months before he died to bring him to repentance and forgiveness. It was the same God, right? Why then did God wait all of Keith's life and pick me at 9? I don't have the answer to that. But it wouldn't be very fair to Keith if God waited until Keith was 8 months before dying to save him when he saved me. It wouldn't be very fair to Keith if I actually got more stuff than Keith did in heaven. Does that make sense to everybody? Because God is the one who saved him. They didn't save themselves. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. One inheritance, all the saints. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Inheritance of the saints. One inheritance, all the saints. Hebrews 6:12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They inherit all the promises. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the... Watch this now. Here we go. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. If God called you, you receive the inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for who? For you. And he didn't specify who it was for. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit how many things? All things. So if someone all you need is this one verse here, Revelation 21:7. This is all you need. If someone comes to you and says, well, I believe some people are going to get greater rewards in heaven, just quote Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. So when I get to heaven and Keith Crum is standing there, Steve Leonard, Milton Hoggard, I'll be honest with you. I'm happy that my dad will get to have all things. And my brother-in-law, whom I love like a brother, wasted his whole life, died and went to heaven. And I'm not unhappy that he will get the same thing I'll get. I'm happy for him because I love him. And if I love him that much, Sterling, and I'm evil, how could God's love be any less than mine? Can I hear you say amen? It's like going to heaven. God, which part is mine? It's all yours. It's all yours. Everything here is yours. But God, I don't deserve it. I know, but my son did. And you're in him. And so you get everything that he gets. Can I hear God's people say amen? If you flip over to that last page, I'm just going to run through these very quickly and we'll be done. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. The reward is salvation. It's being saved out of hell. Isn't that what you wanted to begin with? You got saved. Why? Because you wanted a big mansion? No. Why'd you get saved, Kay? So isn't that good enough? You better believe it is. It's only the covetousness of men that have added all these rewards up there for different people. That's nonsense. Genesis 5. Now watch this now. Here it is. The Bible actually defines what your inheritance is, what your reward is. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. This is even before he was Abraham. Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The reward of a saved person is God. Amen, Gary. The reward, the one reward of any saved person is God. Psalm 18:20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Psalm 19:11, moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. That's the great reward. Psalm 58:11, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judges in the earth. Psalm 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Watch this now, you're going to like this. He said the fruit of the womb is the reward. Look at the next verse. Luke 1:42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Guess who that was? Jesus is the reward. He's the reward. Your inheritance in heaven, your home in heaven, there's one reward. So I studied it out. I looked for it. I had an open and honest heart before God. God, show me in this book. And I do not, there is no scripture that backs up the doctrine that a person can come down, make a profession of faith. You know what that is? In some cases, that is a false conversion. And there are too many churches who want to slap the title salvation on that and say, well, you're saved. And people go off, and they do it. They run out, they live however they want to. Well, I got saved when I was such and such. Well, I got saved a long time ago. I don't know how many people I've talked to, knocked on doors years ago, and tried to talk them into church. Well, I got saved when I was a kid. I'm done. Well, they're just not going to get the rewards that we're going to get. That is unscriptural. It's unbiblical. It's wrong. I think it's hateful to preach something like that. I think there's people out there that have decided they've been dejected and rejected out of a church because they couldn't live up to some church's standards. And since they were told then that if they couldn't live up to it, that they weren't going to get the stuff that all the church people got, they left, Jared. They left. I wouldn't mind if they came here and sat next to us bums. Amen. All right. Appreciate you forbearing with me. I believe this kind of stuff needs to be told. I believe it needs to be taught. And hopefully we'll help set some people free. All right. Let's stand to our feet. Appreciate you coming tonight.